I have a handout. It's not exhaustive. I did not do the handout. If you want one of these, and we can make some more. Miss Maggie can make some more. Save her one of those if she needs to make a couple. What it has to do, and you know, the whole series of the lessons here is, as we've titled it, in the beginning, because this stuff starts in Genesis, goes through Revelations, and it's the Bible revelation of the ages and how to get the ages right, how to get the covenants right, how to get the kingdoms right. You can go through it. You can go through it dispensationally. That's kind of what we've been doing. You can go through the covenants. You can go through the kingdoms, and we've made this basic statement. You have to know who God is talking to at the time. In other words, you want to get the Jew right, the Gentile right, and the church right. Basically, for us today to understand what some people call contradictions in the Word of God. And as we know, it's the Word of God. There are no contradictions in it. And what I've printed out is just a little something to fold and put in your Bible as a reminder. Because somebody's ultimately going to come up to you and say, why aren't you a Pentecostal? Or they might say, why aren't you a Church of Christ? Or they might say, why aren't you a Catholic? Or why aren't you this? Or an Episcopalian? Or why aren't you that? And we're supposed to have an answer, a biblical answer for that. You don't want to have an attitude about it, because nobody's trying to say anybody's better than anybody else, because we're all flesh. Me and Ted, I asked Ted how he was, and he hesitated to answer on what grounds I was asking that. Spiritually, he's doing okay. Meanness, now me and him's about on the same page. We're both, you know, oh, and I think he was winking at me, this little thing, and I didn't print this, and I caught it. I thought, you know, it's a good little handout, a good little flyer. And it's right where we're at, because we've been teaching in this thing, and we were at the cross. The cross is on the other chart, which may or may not got hung up. I think it did. And we started the apostolic church period, and all that happens here in retrospect to what was happening in the Old Testament and who God was talking to and why he was saying it. And then we're into the New Testament and how the Bible unfolds and what it says and what he says and what he doesn't say, which is very, very important to get the doctrine right, your doctrine right in the New Testament church. People have asked me, why are there so many different denominations? Well, it's how they divide or how they study or how they view the Word of God. And if you don't get the Word of God right, it's untelling what you'll come out believing or why. And you may have a reason. Because a society might have based your reasons. Religion might have based your reasons. But what needs to base your reason is the Word of God. And if that's not the case, then you're probably going to be involved into a religion that's not really following what God told us to do. So this morning, in a nutshell, I'll cover a few things, and I studied this last week, so I'll teach this lesson, and I can't let anything lay. I'm with studying and paper about like Pastor is with the sound system. Huh? We just get real funny about that. Man, turn that up, turn that down. You got that wrong. And, you know, I'm about the same way. Get this stuff right. Can you tell we're related? Somehow, I don't know, DNA matches somewhere. But I want to talk about, I'll go through these things that I'd written down last week. And then this morning, I was up, can't let it lay, man. Printed this out this morning, wrote this just because I want to be as crystal clear as I possibly can as we cover this. Because Jeremiah preached a wonderful message Wednesday night. And I listened to it, and he was over in the book of Acts, and he was around Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and he was talking about the doctrines of the church, the early church, which was all Jewish. And the pastor got up and had some good things to say after the service. And then Jeremiah stepped back up and gave three. If you weren't following that, you need to go back and get that, because it dovetails into exactly what I've been teaching here in the church. And, you know, the crowd that comes in isn't going to get some of this stuff, okay? And I can't help that. You can't fix that. But the folks you see in Sunday school class and the folks you see on Wednesday night, that's basically your core, your backbone, your believers in the church that might actually come up with a reason why they believe what they believe, and why they can tell you they don't go to a Catholic church, or why they might be able to tell you they don't go to this or this other church, and why they come to a church like this. Now, let me say this. Not every Baptist church gets it right. There's other churches that I think of, a church over in the Sinking Springs area, a Grace Bible Church. It was as straight as doctrine can get, but they were not a Baptist church. You say, what do you do with that? I don't do anything with it. I just say, if you've got a Bible in your hand and you understand why God wrote it and how he wrote it, then you're not going to be worried too much about what label's on the can. Huh? Do you ever go to the grocery store? Will you buy a can of anything with no label on it? No, number one, unless you're desperately hungry. And let me say this. My son says this, not this son, the older son. Every can has a label. You say, why? Because it tells you what's in it. That's why when you drive up to this church, it says Hope Baptist Church. You got a good idea, if anything's working at all up here, that, okay, it's a Baptist church. It's not this, that, or the other. And then you'll make a decision based on the label. So I'm not saying all labels are good, all labels are bad. I want to hand you the tools from the Word of God of how to be able to discern what is right and wrong, no matter what label you get into. Amen. Right. So that little flyer is meant just to jog your brain. Did I give them all away? I did, except the one. I got it somewhere, or I dropped it. It doesn't matter. But I'll just let you have that, and it shows the cross. It shows kind of what was before the cross, what was after the cross. It gives you an idea of different teachings in the Scripture, what some religions say and what some don't say, and that's where the crux of the thing is. And I have an extra page here. I'll never get to it. Oh, my little thing here. It talks about the chart. It talks about rightly dividing the books, the chapters, the verses of the Bible into their scriptural Old and New Testament. And this writer uses covenants and covenant ages. And I have used the term ages, and I've even used the scriptural word in the book of Ephesians, dispensation. You're going to come through the Bible one of those three ways. You say, I just take it from cover to cover. I just believe from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I'm good with that thing. I'm good. Yeah, and you probably even read your Bible through one time. Amen. So there's something to be said for studying the Word of God. And what it does, it grounds you, it grows you, it gives you an edge on this old nasty world that you're living in today. Amen. So the Old Testament patriarchs, we went through all that, you remember. The Old Testament Mosaic Age, we went through all that. This little chart has that on there. Talks about the history and Abraham, more history. Then it has the cross, and that's in that chart back there. The cross is a hinge point, man. Everybody gets this. You know, I don't believe in rightly divided. I don't believe in divisions. Yeah, well, that Bible that you pack, and I don't care if it's an ASV, an RSV, an NIV, and I don't like any of those, but all of them have an Old Testament and a New Testament. Yeah. Huh? Even the dumb get dividing divisions in the Word of God. So here you got the cross. Remember we talked about that 50-day thing and Pentecost? We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And it's even on this little chart, if you'll notice that. 50 days between the Old and New Testament is described in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, 21, Acts 1. Jeremiah was over in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Wednesday night, dovetailing all that we say. And then New Testament Christian age, which the that book of Acts being a transitional book, swinging from the Jewish church, and the church is still the church, but it swings to Gentiles. Jews as a whole and a nation have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So this little chart helps remember that. No book, chapter, verse in the Bible belongs to two different covenants or two different kingdoms, or there are some that you might read millennial tribulation. But as you get deeper into your studies, you'll learn exactly how to figure that out. And that's what these things are about. Say, why do we have to know all this? As I said before, that you might be that Christian that's able to give an answer to someone that may ask you, why are you this? Or why do you believe that? Or somebody's going to say, well, don't you Baptists believe once saved, always saved? Yeah, hallelujah, I do. You say, how do you get that? I may get to cover that this morning if I can get going here. There's my clock. Get going here. Though the scriptures teach, well, that's what that page is about. Enough on that. I want to get off of that. That's what that's about. That's a little trigger page to help you remember what we've been studying and maybe why. And so in the beginning, in the ages, when the death and resurrection of the Lord begins, the dispensation of grace, not that there wasn't any grace any other time, there was. I said time period, age, covenant of grace, like we live in today. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but there are different kinds of graces found out. God has one grace, being one of those things that we enjoy today, especially in this age. The present and personal ministry of the Holy Ghost is characteristic to the day of grace or the dispensation of grace, the church age, if you begin with the apostolic church. And we talked 2 weeks ago of the Holy Spirit coming down and what was going on there. Jeremiah touched on it Wednesday night. And it's symbolized, and we even said this, by the table of Holy Communion. It's here in our church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, 20, 26. And people say, well, what does that have to do with anything in understanding the Word of God? You didn't have no holy table of communion because there wasn't no church before he instituted it and set that thing up, and you get that thing going. So that thing speaks volumes. Just like the baptism, but in Corinthians, and we covered this verse last time, so I won't go back. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26 talks about people that get all mixed up about taking the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. And the fact that the Lord won't drink of that cup or eat of that bread until he drink and eat it anew in the Father's kingdom. You say, what's that got to do with anything? That's got everything to do with the church and the fact that the church is the bride of Christ. And one day we'll sit down as the called out assembly at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's a whole other lesson in itself. But we talked about Pentecost, a one-time thing, the coming down of the Holy Ghost, as far as the church is concerned. Now, Peter preached, Jeremiah laid it out pretty good Wednesday night. He went to the book of Joel and he talked about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm not going to rerun these verses. We've went over them. You say, well, when does that happen? Well, there will be a sect of people in the church age that believe that's happening now. But I got news for you. What's happening now is the ministering of the Holy Ghost of God in the church. And the outpouring of the Holy Ghost Joel talked about will happen for the Jew in the tribulation period. Say, man, and if you don't get that thing straight, man, you'll be trying to drag that Joel thing because Peter preaches. And whoa, 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 Peter preached it. That's New Testament. Didn't you pay attention? That was Jew. That was not Gentile. And people, they say, oh, man, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, learn how to add right. Learn how to subtract right. 1 + 1 = 2. I'm remembering that movie now. Wasn't that about a military thing? Don't let me get hung up on this. And ain't Jack Nicholson, that guy had that flat top haircut and he had that goofy looking look on the face. You kidding, man? One of them guys. Wasn't that other Hollywood extremist? Cruise man? Yeah. Another reprobate. You can't handle the... Oh, sorry. It just hit me what he was talking about. When you get old, things move a little slower. Luke 24:49, the Bible says this. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That was not the apostolic powers, but they had already had that during the ministry of Christ. They were able to heal the sick, raise the dead. What kind of power was this? This was a different kind of power. It was called the power of the Holy Ghost of God and the indwelling of the Spirit of God, which earmarks what we have in the church today. And I wanted to cover in my extras some apparent contradictions in Scripture. And if you don't get the rightly dividing thing down, you won't get the apparent contradictions right. So dealing with the apparent contradictions of the Word of God is very difficult if rightly dividing is not understood. What the Scriptures say is not contradictory if we understand who it is said to and at what time it is said and for what reason it was said. Follow what I'm saying? This is called sound doctrine. And let me tell you, what the church doesn't have today is no doctrine at all. You say, why? Because it makes you draw a line in the sand. It makes you either get on this side or that side. And that's what people don't like. They say, well, I've got my rights. Yeah, you do. Laodicean, thou art. Rights of the people. I'll believe what I want to believe when I want to believe it. And that, my friend, is what's wrong with the fundamental Bible-believing church today. It's not given to the reading and the exhortation and the study of doctrine. We've done everything but teach doctrine. So I teach doctrine. If you notice, if I do anything, I generally teach along the lines of some doctrinal thing. I'll leave the glory preaching, all the other shouting and stuff to somebody else. I like that stuff. I want to hear that. I get on the internet, tune somebody in, get my earbuds in, and boy, I just listen away to somebody just preach, and I love it. But you know what I found out? Doctrine is what separates the believers, the actual believers, from people just playing the game. And a lot of people playing the game today. Oh, I'm religious. I go to church. I love Jesus. Oh, and they go, you know. Yeah, okay. The book of Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they not endure sound doctrine. I believe we live in that time. They don't want to endure it. They won't preach it. They won't teach it. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itchy ears. Oh, yeah, they want to hear everything and everybody. But they're going to go on doing what they want to do and how they want to do it. And so Titus, Tim, and Paul is saying this, and I'm getting this right out of Pauline epistle, which is dead on church day, church activity, and what's going on. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful words as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. You know, the average preacher, let me back up, the average Baptist preacher, amen, don't have and can't tell you why he believes what he believes. He might tell you how he feels, and he might tell you, oh, it doesn't matter. Let's just hug. Whatever we do, feel good. Well, Baptists are known to meet and eat. Around here, we sing meet and eat. Amen? But somewhere in there, and I'm glad to be a part of a church that has a balance on doctrine. I am glad Pastor Holt tolerates me to teach. Amen. But Titus 2:1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's what I'm supposed to be about. Now, I'm not saying we don't need some. I hope Brother Dave lets her fly. I know he will today. I don't. And Brother, you don't have to preach on doctrine. I'm going to cover that all right here. You just get it, man. Examples of apparent contradictions of the Word of God. Let me give you one. Salvation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. To the Bible student, a flag ought to went up right then when I said Matthew chapter 24. You say, why? Because we've been talking about the book of Matthew. We've been talking about how it's written, who wrote it, and what they were looking for. Matthew wrote in such a manner, and there are four gospels, and we begin to tell you why there were. That's in another lesson. And we said, but Matthew was looking for a king for the nation of Israel. You say, why? Because the Jews looked for a king. He was prophesied. They missed the line of prophecy that he would come as a child and a babe. They didn't want to receive that. They wanted a king on a white horse marching in to overthrow the Roman Empire. Want to set that kingdom up here on earth. So what I get out of Matthew chapter 24, who's it to? The Jew. What's it for? Kingdom preaching. Remember I told you there's kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. I can't say it 25 times, but the kingdom of heaven is mentioned 25 times in the book of Matthew, and the kingdom of God may be mentioned once or twice. There's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Pastor preached it well, probably last Sunday morning or the Sunday morning before. I can't remember. It fogs over. But he talked about the kingdom of God, which is the Spirit of God dwelling in the believer today, characteristic to no other kingdom in that chart any place there except the church age. Amen. Kingdom of heaven, literal, physical, visible kingdom going to be set up. We call it the millennial reign of Christ. So the Jew was getting this, and watch this. Matthew 24:13. Somebody said, I'll tell you how to get saved. Right here's my verse, right here. This is what I believe. And you got a lot of folks believing this. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Man, you got to hold on. You got to work it out. No, you don't. You say, well, see, if you don't learn how to write, divide the word of God, if you don't see why God said this to these people and this to that, those people and this to that people over there, you'll be more confused than a termite and a yo-yo. Got that off Brother Dave, 1950, somewhere back in there. Parent contradiction. Now, let me jump into Ephesians chapter 2. A flag ought to go up right now. Ephesians chapter 2. Well, yeah, that's not Matthew 24, but it says something totally different than Matthew chapter 24. Let me read it to you, and you know it, Ephesians 2:8. I'm showing you how simple this thing is. Here's how you get saved. Well, it said, you just give me that verse in Matthew. That was for the Jew in the tribulation, or in Matthew if they'd have claimed Christ and set up the kingdom, but not. It doesn't fit the church. You see, Christ was crucified. They rejected him. You say, well, Matthew shouldn't have never said it. God shouldn't have recorded. Don't you love how God works? Man, he'll write that stuff down in such a way, if you don't study, you'll get so mixed up and so messed up, huh? But if you'll study it and give yourself to the Word of God, it will give itself to you. And then you'll know why you believe what you believe. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The Bible said, verse 8, let's just use verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, we're talking about salvation. We got something totally different. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You say, what's that? Man, that's salvation plus or minus nothing. That's salvation without working. You say, why? Christ died on the cross and done all the work. Amen, brother. You say, what is that? That's rightly dividing. That's an apparent contradiction in your Bible on salvation. One verse says this, another verse says that. And you say, see, I told you there was problems with the Bible. No. Problem ain't with the Word of God. Problem with you. Amen. And you know there'll be plenty of religious people out there that are preaching today. You got to hold on. You got to endure to the end. You got to work it out. And say, well, will they get saved? No. They won't get saved. Say, what is that? That's another gospel. Take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, that's a worksy salvation. Now, I'm not saying that ain't going to work one of these days, but not now. Now that thing over here in Galatians, Paul the apostle, he's giving credence here. He says, grace be unto you, peace be from the Father, Galatians 1:3, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I said Galatians, that ought to raise the flag. New Testament epistle, written by the apostle Paul, probably for the church. Bingo, you got it. He's talking to the church. And Galatian people, the Gauls, those weren't Jews. Amen. Watch what he says. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. You want to know what's going on today? I'll tell you what's going on today. Somebody might get saved at 12 years old, 10 years old, 8 years old, 4 years old, but never got in church anywhere. They woke up one day because they've been so enamored by the world and have the propensity to do the things of the world, but they knew this. They thought, when I think I got saved, I'm going to find me a church to go to. And they drive down the road and they say, man, there's a lot of cars in that parking lot. Look at that. I think I'll go there. And by the way, all those churches will have a lot of cars in the parking lot. Amen, Brother Phil. That's good preaching. You're supposed to be teaching. I'll settle down here in just a minute. Watch out. Say, what happened to them? Well, I'm not saying they ain't saved. They got saved like a child. You know what? He said, in simple childlike faith, I got saved when I was 12. Guess what? If I'd have got in the wrong religious organization, I'd be so turned around, twisted today, I couldn't preach here. Say why? I wouldn't have the right doctrine. And you say, well, what happened? Here, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. He said, I'm not debating you got saved here. But which is not another. And by the way, there's at least, I can show you at least four different gospels. Gospel of the kingdom, gospel of the everlasting in the book of Revelation, the angel preaches, the gospel of baptismal regeneration. Let me rephrase that. Another study coming out. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent, be baptized. Dave, I blame this on you, brother. I heard him sing a song one day, water fellowship, water, Lord. I don't know where I got that, but I'm telling on him. But we go way back. It's funny. Look, ain't you glad you're saved today? Ain't you glad you love God and you can laugh a little bit, enjoy yourself? Amen. Isn't God's grace good? Even the forgiving power of God, amen, man. I mean, I'm like Brother Sid, we're just old rascals, man. Ain't you glad God, man, he can, when he looks at you and you say, God, I'm a sinner, he says, I know it, and he sees his son. Amen. So lighten up and laugh a little bit here. You can laugh. But he said, here you got turned around, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and we pervert the gospel of Christ. So why do you think we're so dogmatic about who comes and preaches in this pulpit? Why do you think that pastor sitting back there, he just ain't going to let everybody in the community come in here and preach? Huh? Because you know what they're going to preach? They're going to preach some false doctrine, some goofy. Hang on now. Watch out. I'm getting all bad now. I'm not mad at nobody. I get irritated that the devil has so much power and can blind so many people. And it just, one of these days, I'm glad I'm just passing through one of these days. I won't even be singing, I'll fly away. I'll be flying away. Amen. Amen. So, but he says, but though we or an angel from heaven, I don't care who, angel from heaven, me, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, remember when I covered all that thing on hyperdispensationalism? I don't want you to hear me wrong. I'm not a hyperdispensationalist. I don't believe in chopping it all up and taking just the prison epistles, teach the word of God. I believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God for reproof, correction, doctrine, whatever it said, thing says in 2 Timothy 3:16, Jeremiah quoted it the other night, Wednesday night. Pastor quoted it not too long ago. He said, what are you saying? I'm saying, much study will not make you mad. The world will think you're mad because you got it rightly divided. They'll think you're crazy, but it will not make you mad. Remember I preached a message a while back. Oh, it's been three or four years. Preach it right here, brand new message. I haven't preached it anyplace else. Are all Christians crazy? You know why? Because that's what the world said. You're crazy. Amen. We're not crazy, amen? We just got the truth, and we're just pilgrim strangers passing through. So I give you a parrot contradiction on scriptures, on salvation, and I was prepared today, and look at the clock, and be careful here. I have one on the Holy Spirit of God in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The scripture says, in whom ye also are trusted that after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You say, what's that? Well, flag ought to went up. Ephesians. Oh, Paul wrote that. That's to the church. Yeah, he wrote about 13 epistles there, so we need to pay attention to them. And I'm not saying there isn't truth. And I can go, once I got the New Testament down, now I can clearly see what he was saying in the Old Testament. And just like was said the other evening, a lot of Old Testament scriptures show up in the New Testament rightly divided for you. The Apostle Paul quoted the Psalms and many Old Testament verses. The Lord himself quoted the Old Testament. Man, when he went toe-to-toe with the devil, brother, all he spoke was the word of God. Amen. So then that thing, you are sealed. Say, what is that? That's something for the church. It's one of the ministries, one of the seven ministries of the Holy Ghost of God. F.E. Marsh wrote a bunch of wonderful books. One of them is called The Seven Works of the Holy Ghost of God, the Church Age, and I would recommend it to anybody. He's not off in the left field someplace, but it shows you the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now watch, let me develop this, because a lot of people are goofed up, messed up, mixed up on the Holy Spirit of God, the filling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. In the very day and age that we live, you've probably got some good friends someplace that are mixed up on this. You say, why? Because they don't rightly divide. They've never studied the Word of God. They just believe what they've heard. And then Rome, let me give you this verse. I gave you, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise in this day. He told that to Ephesian people. They told the Romans, he said a mixture here of Romans and Jews, but Gentiles and Jews. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor, I'm in Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angel nor principality nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you something, brother. You get saved, you're basking in the love of God. John 3:16. You ain't never known no love like that. That love will never let you down. That love will never cast you out. That love will never put you through the wrath of God. Say, what is? That's characteristic for the church. It's in Romans. You got that today, believer. Somebody asked you why? Well, let me tell you what some believe. Take your Bible and go to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 33. I'm sorry, Ezekiel chapter 33, better go to verse 13. I won't use that whole place. Say, what? Ezekiel, another flag up. Oh, you're not in the New Testament no more. You went to the Old Testament. That's right. Say, why? Because that's where your other doctrinal denomination, false doctrine people will go. Say, what are they going to prove? They're going to prove that you can lose your salvation. You say, okay, who's that to? It's to the Jew. It's not even to the church, not to the Gentile. Well, I'm going to spiritualize it and drag it from there over here and apply it. Well, you help yourself, honey. That's why you're goofed up. Amen. Amen. Verse 13, when I shall say to the righteous. Okay, we got somebody righteous here. And by the way, he's talking to the nation of Israel, by the way. Get the context right. That he shall surely live. Amen. And he's talking about that righteousness that bringeth eternal life. If he trusts to his own righteousness. Now, by the way, any Old Testament person knew he didn't have any righteousness, that i.e. the law of God. Offered sacrifice because you weren't righteous and committed iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Say, what? Yeah, man. So if he was righteous and he did everything and then he sinned, he gonna die in his sin, and guess what? He gonna die for it. The indication that he's going to go to hell for that thing. You say, well, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit left him. Well, let me give you a clear verse in the Old Testament. Psalms chapter 51. Now, I know you love David, about verse 10, verse 11. David's given the reaccounting, the story about how he sinned against God and he should have died for the sin. He killed Uriah. He had adulterous affair with Bathsheba and he had these kids, so on and so forth. And he's praying and he's trying to get clean before God. Amen. Now, he don't pray like you pray today. You say, why? He's a Jew, and it's to the Jew, and it's in reference to the Holy Spirit working with the nation of Israel when they're in Jacob's trouble. That's the deeper lesson. We won't get into that. Let me give you the clear verse. Create in me a right heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence. That's Ezekiel 33:13. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Say, what? Well, right there, brother, you can lose it. He can take the Holy Spirit from you. But hold up. He could right there. And he did right there. You say, I don't believe that. Well, Saul, he was the anointed of God. I mean, he prophesied before the Lord. He had the Spirit of God on him. Brother, he got so full of himself like most kings do. Amen. Most leaders do. I'm out of time. Brother, he reduced himself down to going to the witch of Endor. You say, well, did he go to heaven or hell? I don't know. You go figure that out. I've been asked that before. I don't know. If he went to hell, don't be like him. If he went to heaven, don't be like him. Because, man, he went to the witch of Endor. And then he committed suicide. Huh? But a lot of men out there just like Saul lead just like Saul. okay? That verse over there, people say, well, take the Holy Spirit from me. If David could lose it, surely we can't. No, not today. Not in the age of grace. Not in the church period. You say, what? No, I don't care what you do. Say, oh, you mean if somebody murders somebody, he's still going to heaven? Absolutely. David, you say, well, David, don't get the Old Testament mixed up with the New Testament when it comes to doctrine. There's a spiritual application there. And by the way, let me give you the spiritual application. I'll quit. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You go out and sin today as a saved person, saved woman, or saved man. You go on out there and sin. You go on out there and get yourself all muddied up, messed up in the world. I'm not saying God won't forgive you, but you're going to go through some dark times and you're going to think that the Holy Ghost ain't in you. You're going to think you're lost, man. Amen. You say, why? Because you're going to be one miserable rascal. You say, why? Because the book of Hebrews says he chasteneth every son whom he loveth. And brother, you walk astray, he's going to give you a licking, man. And you better thank God he's given you a licking. Because you belong to him. I got to quit. Amen. I didn't get to teach a lesson. That was the extras. I'll teach that next time. So thank you for showing up and coming. Father, bless now, especially the song service, the preaching, especially the preaching. Might be a person here that's lost and needs to be saved. Pray that they can be saved. Now, in power of the man of God, in power of our pastor, may we please thee in what we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.